We're going to be talking about handling life's interruptions, right? Brother Gentry started that last week. How do we handle life's interruptions? And we're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Have you guys ever noticed that interruptions always happen at the worst time? When I was selling cars, I used to get phone calls on my days off, which is bad enough, but I'd be in like the middle of dinner and I would get a phone call and I'd have to leave the middle of dinner to go sell a car. That was horrible. Or maybe if you have kids, you can resonate with this one. You're on your way to church, you're running behind, and your two-year-old looks at you and they're like, "I need my diaper changed." And you're like, "Oh, dude, we're late." They'll change you in the nursery. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So that kind of stuff happens, right? Car problems. And the reality is that interruptions, they don't care about our calendar. They don't care about our clock. They don't care about what plans we have today, right? Those kind of interruptions that I just told you, they're kind of silly. They pass quickly, right? They really are not pleasant at the time, but usually you forget about it afterwards, right? There's another kind of interruption, though, that lingers. It's serious. It's life-changing. And they barge in unannounced, right? They don't tell you they're coming. And they really mess up everything. They can drain your wallet. They can drain your time. And you have to deal with them. Have you guys ever felt like something had just hijacked your life? Like they took it over and that interruption was all you could focus on for this time being. This past month, my life has been filled with interruptions. You guys have been praying for me, I know. But I've been in the hospital 3 times. I've been stayed overnight 3 days. That was for one visit. But we have no idea really what's going on. I've missed work. I've had to like say, "Hey, I can't preach tonight." And it's been really frustrating. My overall ability to do what I feel called to do and what I know I have to do, take care of my family, that kind of thing, has been impacted, right? And it's all at this time where God is doing amazing things at Trinity. You guys can amen that, right? God is doing amazing things at Trinity, and he's doing amazing things in the young adults. And in my own life, I just feel like God is really moving, and I can see that, and I see it. And, you know, it's frustrating because I want to take part in all of that. But how do you handle that? How do you handle when your life goes terribly wrong? That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, it's frustrating. It's disheartening. And I'm sure some of you guys have been there in your life where you feel like, man, everything was going great. And then this happened, whatever it is. That may have led you to be depressed. That may have led you to question God. What are you doing? Why are you allowing these things to happen to me, God? Maybe that's even led you to doubt him. Tonight, we're going to talk about Joseph. And Joseph's life was full of interruptions. Amen. His life was full of interruptions, the kind of interruptions that could have destroyed him. But he had a God-centered response to how he dealt with interruptions. And so tonight we're going to look at how every believer can trust God when life goes wrong. We're going to be in chapter 39 is where we're going to pick up. Who knows who Joseph is? Can anybody just tell me, start rattling off some interruptions that Joseph had? Who was Joseph? Who's his dad? Jacob, right? That's Isaac's son. That's Abraham's son, okay? And what happened at Jacob's house with Joseph? He had an interruption. He had a dream, right? And then he told his brothers his dream, and then he had another interruption. Yeah, they beat him up, and they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. And so after they sold him into slavery, he's purchased by a guy named Potiphar. He's an Egyptian officer. And throughout all of the terrible things that were happening, the Bible says that God was with him, right? In the whole mess, God was with him. In Genesis 39, verse 3, it says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." And so the Lord was with Joseph despite all of these interruptions. God blessed him. He blessed Potiphar's house as a result. And I just, one key thing I think we need to all notice is Joseph was doing everything by the book as far as we can tell, right? He was doing all the right stuff. And still, everything went wrong. And so nobody is above interruptions. We all experience them. And they're not dependent on us doing the right things all the time. You could have perfect health, so you think, and then something happened, right? And so Joseph's there, and you guys know the story. He's at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, but he refuses, right? He does the right thing. And then she falsely accuses him. And so just over and over again, his life is interrupted by stuff that, how could you even, you couldn't even write this if you tried. This is Joseph's life. It's crazy. And so she falsely accuses him, and he gets thrown into prison now. And so he honored God, and all of this terrible stuff is happening. His life was kind of like a pancake, right? It just kept getting flipped over. Everything, he was doing everything right, and then it got flipped upside down, right? And then he's doing everything right here, and then it gets flipped upside down. And so his life was in constant turmoil from a pretty young age. And so he ends up in prison, and tonight we're going to pick up when he's in prison in verse 21. And we're going to see three battle-tested realities that sustain Joseph throughout his 13 years of slavery, his imprisonment. And I believe these same things can sustain you and sustain me when we're dealing with a tumultuous life. And so the objective tonight is every believer can trust God when life goes wrong by remembering three truths. The first truth we're going to look at is that interruptions don't change God's presence. That's verse 21 we're going to pick up. Joseph's in prison. His whole life's changed. His whole world collapsed. And remember what I just told you, the Lord was with him. And again, in verse 21, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Just as he was before all of these interruptions, God was still with Joseph. In the midst of the temptations, God was with him. Just because, in our own lives, just because the enemy steps into our lives, just because another person comes into our world and messes everything up, that doesn't mean that God leaves us, right? God's presence is independent from outside forces. God had been with Joseph from a young age, and it says that he's still with Joseph. He was with him in his father's house. He was with him in the pit. He was with him in the slave market, in Potiphar's house, and he's with him in prison. And so what we see here is that the circumstances changed a lot in his life, but God's presence never changed. And let me encourage you with this. Interruptions don't change God's presence in your life. We're going to continue reading. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Am I reading wrong? No, sorry. "The keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper." And so, look what happened even in prison. It says that the Lord was with him, the Lord showed him mercy, the Lord gave him favor, caused him to prosper. Just like he was in Potiphar's house, now he's the leader of the prison. Why? And here's a question. You guys are free to respond to this question if you have a good answer. Why do we sometimes confuse difficult circumstances with God's absence? Why do we think, man, just because I'm going through this, God's not with me? Yeah. That's true. She said he might have you going through it for a reason or purpose that you just don't understand at that time. That's true. A lot of times we face terrible circumstances, terrible situations, severe temptations, and sometimes we think, God must not be here. God must have given up on me. Why is he letting this happen, right? But those interruptions, or those conclusions rather, are not what we need to be drawing from those interruptions. Sometimes we mistake the storm that we're going through for his absence, but God doesn't depend on our life being perfect. He doesn't depend on calm waters, right? Think of the disciples when they found themselves in the midst of the storm on the sea. It was so bad that they thought they were going to die. And they cry out to Jesus. Jesus was right there with them in the storm, though, right? But they thought they were going to die, and they cry out to Jesus. And what did he say to them? Oh, ye of little faith. Yeah. Then he went and calmed the storm, and he proved his authority over the storm, right? And so that truth is with us as well. God is with us in the midst of the storm, and we're just called to trust him. That's what Mrs. Enoch said she's been doing through her storm, through the difficult things that she's been going through. Another great example of that is Job. Job had worse things than anybody in this room could imagine happening to him. But God never left his side. God loved him. He took care of him. Sometimes we feel like Job. Sometimes we feel like Joseph. Like that's our life. Like those things define us. And the conclusion that we need to have in those times is that we can trust the Lord. We can count on his presence. Being a believer, it doesn't mean that we have this like divine immunity, that stuff isn't going to happen to us. Stuff is going to happen to us. And so what we need to do is trust the Lord. Jesus says that we should consider it, or that we should not consider it strange when we go through trials, right? We should not consider it strange when we go through trials. Joseph, God didn't spare Joseph. Joseph was a stand-up guy. God didn't spare him. He didn't spare him from his betrayal from his brothers, right? He didn't spare him from slave traders. He didn't spare him from the temptation in Potiphar's house. And he didn't spare him from this prison cell. And though he didn't spare him, God was still with him. And so when we read Joseph's story, it's easy to look at him and say, well, of course God is with him. He's a great guy. The Bible says that he's goodly, that he's godly, that he's blessed. But we need to focus on God in the story. Joseph was not perfect, but God was with him. And God made him to prosper. But it's all because God is good. God was with him, and he'll be with you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who are called, those who love God and are called according to his purpose, right? When life knocks us down, we can have that confidence that God is with us. And we don't have to measure whether he's with us or not by our circumstances. We measure our circumstances by the fact that he's with us, right? And when God is with us, what we're going through seems a lot smaller. When we're not focused on that, it's easy to make something, dare I say, small. I know it feels big, but it's a lot easier to make it feel extremely big, like it's taking over our life, but God is way bigger than that. And so that's the first truth that we're going to look at, is that interruptions don't change God's presence. The second truth we're going to look at is that interruptions open doors for God's glory. And so we're going to jump ahead a chapter to chapter 40, verse 5 through 8. And in verse 5 it says, or Let me give you some context, actually. Joseph's in prison. Two high-ranking officials get arrested. They're from Pharaoh's court. It's the chief butler and the chief baker. And they're in prison. They are the chief, right? They had access to the Pharaoh. They were high-ranking. They had authority, but they had fallen out of favor with the Pharaoh. And so now they're in prison awaiting judgment. And verse 5 picks up, "And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly this day? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpretation of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And so, I don't know if any of you guys have ever been to prison. I've been to prison a few times, visiting. And generally, people aren't smiling when I've been, like, I don't know why he expected them to be, like, happy. But Joseph was in charge of the prison, right? And so what we know about Joseph is that he was a great guy, that he was wise, that he was perceptive. And so they were sadder than normal that day. He walked in and he looks at them. He's taking good care of them, and he notices their faces. And he says, Why are you sad? And they say, Well, we had these dreams, and we don't know what they mean. And Joseph sees this as an opportunity to bring God glory, right? What does he say in response? Do not interpretations belong to God? Joseph didn't claim that he could interpret them. He said that they belong to God. And he didn't use this as an opportunity for self-promotion. He didn't say, Well, these guys know the Pharaoh. I got you, right? He said, No, God can interpret your dreams. If you tell me and God are like this, and I'll get it to you, right? That's basically what he said. And he immediately pointed to God as the source of the interpretation. Think about this. Joseph was in chains. He was forgotten by his family. He was in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. He could have felt like his life was over, but he was thriving because God was with him. And when he had this opportunity to serve these men, he took it. He served these men. He listened to them. He cared about them. And he pointed them to God. How many opportunities to display God's glory do you think that you've missed because you're focused on your circumstances rather than on the Lord? I know I've missed a ton. Right? I've missed a ton. Our lives are full of interruptions, and we can allow them to take our eyes off God, or we can stay focused on God. We can stay on the mission. As a matter of fact, like Miss Donna Marie said, they might be part of the mission. That might be part of God's plan for our life. On the 20th, I was in the hospital, and I was feeling pretty rough, and I was in the hallway, of all places, because they didn't have room for me, which is frustrating. I don't know if you've ever been in the hallway at the hospital, but it's like, give me a room. But I was getting all kinds of tests run and hooked up to stuff, and a couple walked past me, and the guy recognized me, and he's like, Hey, Damon, and I'm like, I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to talk right now. I don't feel good. But I could have been focused on my circumstances. I truly did not want to be there. I did not want to be having a conversation at that point in time. But long story short, this was an opportunity from God, right? And it was an opportunity to glorify God. I was able to share the gospel with them. The girl, I don't know if she's ever heard the gospel or not, but I knew that she was kind of like not for it at the time. and I was able to give her the gospel. They ended up coming to our young adults party last weekend, which was amazing. And, you know, I'm still in contact with them, still working on them, so pray for them. But I'm hoping to get them to a service soon. And that's not to boast on me at all. It's all glory to God, and it's just, it's what we should all be doing in our troubling circumstances. Sometimes we have to change our perspective on our interruptions, right? Sometimes we have to stop seeing our interruptions as inconveniences and start to see them as invitations to do something for the Lord. What's... Amen. I think that's what he always wants us to do. She said... Yeah. She said that sometimes he wants us to look at him and not on our circumstances. And I think that's actually what he wants us to do 100% of the time. If we can keep our eyes on the Lord, then interruptions don't really matter. Joseph did this every time that he faced an interruption, right? He brought glory to God. And we see that in Paul's life too. Paul was imprisoned. And what looked like and probably felt like an interruption, like an inconvenience, was actually this invitation to participate in Christ's mission of suffering. In Philippians 1, verse 29 through 30, he says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." And so I just find that verse so interesting. Have you ever thought of trials, interruptions, inconveniences as something that was given to you? He says, "For unto you it is given." He says, faith is given you to believe in God, right? But it's also given unto you to suffer. And I don't know if we think about our inconveniences or our interruptions like that enough. Like, this is actually for me somehow. I don't see how right now because it stinks to me right now, but it's for me. It's for a reason. Our interruptions aren't meant to paralyze us, but to grow us. That's what it's for. God's allowing us to go through this so that we can be better for his glory, right? God's giving us this opportunity to live out our faith, to point to his glory. Both Paul and Joseph embraced their circumstances as a part of God's plan. And so when life disrupts our plans, we shouldn't see them as obstacles. We shouldn't see them as an obstacle to the ministry. This is keeping me from doing what I should be doing, serving God. We should use them as an opportunity to advance the gospel. We're going to move on to the third truth. But by way of context, Joseph gets their dreams. They tell him their dreams. He interprets them right. The butler would be restored in 3 days. The baker is going to be executed in 3 days. And after he interprets the butler's dream, he says, "Hey, when you get back to the Pharaoh, please remember me," right? Please mention me to the Pharaoh, he says in verse 14. And I'm sure the butler really thought he was going to remember him when he got back there, but he didn't. And so Joseph stayed in prison 2 more years. And even in this extended period of time of waiting, he served God and he served God's purposes. We know that years before this ever happened, Joseph dreamed dreams. We talked about it when he dreamed dreams at his father's house, and they were pointing to his future prominence, right? He dreamed that his brothers and all his family were going to bow to him, and now he's in prison, the opposite, really, of what he dreamed. But God is using Joseph to interpret other people's dreams, and he's preparing Joseph to actually take that role that he had prophesied 13 years before. And that's going to be what we're going to be looking at in the next truth. Truth number 3 is interruptions can't stop God's plan. So 2 years after interpreting the butler's dream, the Pharaoh had this troubling dream of his own, and he summoned all his magicians to get an interpretation for the dream, but nobody could interpret the dream. And the butler finally remembered Joseph, and he told Pharaoh about Joseph, and that's what we're going to be picking up in verse 10 of chapter 41. Verse 10 says, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. This is the butler speaking to the Pharaoh. He's reminding the Pharaoh of the story, basically. And we dreamed a dream one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretations of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. Then the Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiments and came unto the Pharaoh. So the Bible tells us that there was a 13-year period between when Joseph was sold into slavery and when Joseph came face-to-face with Pharaoh. But we also know that when he was younger, he had those dreams that he was going to be head over his family, right? All this was God's plan. It was all in God's plan. He planned to establish Joseph over his brothers. If you remember in Genesis 37, Joseph had these two dreams, and both of them were his family bowing down to him. The dreams led to Joseph's demise, it seemed like, but they actually led to the fulfillment of the prophecy. All the time, all this time that was passing, all these interruptions that he's going through, interruption after interruption, God was working out his will in Joseph's life. He was making Joseph into the man that he needed to be so that he could do what he was called to do. And Joseph is experiencing all of these ups and downs. But now he's finally standing in audience with the Pharaoh of Egypt. And in verse 15 of chapter 41, it says, Pharaoh said, I have heard it said of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. So after all this hard times, all these interruptions, Joseph, we're going to see he still gives glory to God. His trials, they could have made him bitter, right? But they actually prepared him for what he's called to do. In verse 16, it says, and Joseph answered the Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. That's a great response. And you guys, you probably know the rest of the story, right? Joseph accurately interprets the dream, and he gives Pharaoh this plan to save Egypt from the famine that's going to be coming. That was the dream, that there's going to be a famine. And Joseph gives him a plan to save Egypt. And Pharaoh is so impressed with Joseph's ability, Joseph's connection with God, that he makes him second in command in Egypt. He says in verse 38, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And so Pharaoh recognized that God was with Joseph and he gave him the job. Despite all of these interruptions in Joseph's life, the jealous brothers, the false accusations, the prison sentence and all of that, God's plan couldn't be stopped. God was going to do what God said he was going to do. God positioned Joseph in Egypt so that when the famine came, Joseph could save his family, right? The very brothers who beat him up, threw him in a pit, and kind of were the catalyst to everything that happened, were going to bow before him, just as it was foretold before. And in chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph says to them, it's an amazing thing, but as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God knew all along what he was doing, right? They thought it evil, but God allowed it for good. He says, to bring it to pass as it is this day. That was God's plan, so that everything would work out to be the way that it was in that moment. That's the perspective that we need to have when we face interruptions. One that sees life's experiences as God does. Here's the amazing thing. God had a bigger plan than just to save Joseph and Joseph's brothers, Joseph's dad, right? God's plan was for Jesus to come through the bloodline of Israel. And so when he put Joseph there, yeah, he meant to save them, right? But his plan was even bigger than just them. He ends up sending his son through the bloodline of Joseph to die for the sins of the world, right? And his plan's not finished yet. He's still seeking and saving the lost today, and he wants to seek and save as many people as he can before he comes back. That's his plan. And to accomplish that, he's using us. As we go and we give the gospel to Africa or to Findlay, Ohio, he's using us in his plan to reach the lost. And so when we're facing interruptions, why are we going through this? Maybe it's because that's part of his plan, right? We need to see it as God sees it. Someday he's going to return. And when he does, everyone who's put their faith in him is going to spend eternity with him. He's going to rule and reign, and we're going to be right there with him. And that's God's plan. So don't let interruptions keep you from doing what you're called to do. I've heard it said, hindsight's 20/20. I'm sure you guys have heard that before as well. A lot of times when we're facing interruptions, it can be hard to stay faithful because we're looking at the interruption. We're looking at the circumstance, right? But when we look at Joseph's life, and maybe when we look at our own life in hindsight, we can see that, man, we can trust God even when our life goes terribly wrong. And that's what we looked at tonight, right? Every believer can trust God when life goes wrong by remembering these three truths. Interruptions don't change God's presence. He's still with us even in the midst of the interruption. Interruptions open doors for God's glory. We have a mission to do, and he wants us to do it even when we're going through terrible stuff. And interruptions can't stop God's plan. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. So from the pit to the palace, God was at work in Joseph's life. And I believe that he's at work in our lives too. If we put our faith in Jesus, even if we don't, I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But for believers, God's presence never changes. God's purpose never fails. And God's plan is never stopped. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know if you believe in God. God has a plan for your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your interruptions mean something, right? They're not just random truths. They're God trying to get your attention. In the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, and they allowed sin and death to take over the hearts of man. But God had a plan from the beginning, right? A plan of redemption through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can have forgiveness of sins. You can call on God, put your faith in him, and have forgiveness of sins. And that's God's plan for your life. That's God's will for your life. In Acts 17:26, it says, "And they shall seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." God is close to every single one of us. He wants to reach every single one of us. And if you read the more bigger context of that verse, it says that he's put us in the places that we are so that we can have the best possible chance to know him. There's only one thing that can stop God's plan, and that's if you reject Christ. You can't interrupt God's plan for humanity, but you can say no to his plan for your life. And so I encourage everybody here, if you don't know Jesus, to put your faith in him tonight. For believers, we have to reconsider our perspective on interruptions. What others might have meant for evil, what we're going through, and we may hate, we may not understand it. God can use that for good. God is working in those things. It might feel like a setback, but maybe he's using that to shape our faith, right? Or maybe he's using that as an opportunity for you to get the faith to another person. So instead of asking, why, God, what are you doing? Why is this happening? We have to cheer up. We have to face the world in the victory and peace that we have in our relationship with God. The God who was with Joseph is with us, right? And he's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. And he has a mission for us to be on. And so whatever we're going through, the interruptions we're going through, this 100 years that we have on this earth is a blink of an eye compared to eternity. And so we need to keep our eyes on God, on his character, on his promises, and trust that he's going to be with us, that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And I think we can do that when we're looking at this story. Let's pray, and then Brother Bill is going to come and lead our prayer time. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your example in Joseph. And I just pray that you would help us today to trust you more, to rely on you, and whatever we're going through. I know we have a slew of prayer requests we're going to be going through, and we need your help, Lord, and we need to be able to rely on you. And I just pray that if anybody in here is going through something difficult today, that they would trust in you as they face those circumstances, that you would give them strength and courage to move forward, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.